Hey guys, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Bueller, and I'm here with my co-host and twin sister, Brittany.
Hey guys.
Today, we'll be further discussing the abuse allegations from Texas Dreams, the problem with posting positive experiences in response to someone's negative experience, and we also dive deep into the topic of cancel culture. Should Reagan Smith and Reagan Campbell be canceled? We discuss.
We also talk about the statement that was released by former UCLA gymnast Alyssa Beckerman, and we give our thoughts on Ms. Vail and her apology.
Real quick, we want to remind you guys to give us a follow on social media. We just did a giveaway with two Vogue magazines autographed by Simone Biles, but there will be more giveaways in the future, hopefully, so make sure you give us a follow. We're at All Things Gym Pod on Twitter and Instagram, so you don't miss any giveaways we do in the future.
Today's episode is going to be a little bit longer of an episode, possibly the longest one that we've done yet. So hopefully you guys are ready. Hopefully you have some popcorn and you're buckled in. We are very, very passionate in this episode. A little bit angry. There's some foul language. So if you don't like that, just a little bit of a disclaimer here. We do get very heated. But it's for a good cause. I think that we're really passionate about this topic, and we want to help bring about change and bring awareness to some of these issues and hold people accountable when they should be held accountable. So hopefully you guys enjoy today's episode.
We are so excited to be back this week with another episode. We did not post last week because we took a quick little vacation, if you will, up to Michigan's Upper Peninsula. We live in Michigan, and we don't really take vacations that often, so we thought we deserved it, especially with everything that's happened this year. Everything we had planned got canceled, so we thought we might as well just take a quick break, enjoy ourselves. Our birthday's coming up, so we wanted to take a little break, and then we also thought it would be necessary. Because this week we are angry. We have a lot to talk about. So last episode, we talked a little bit about the allegations of abuse at Texas Dreams, and we touched on it a little bit, but some of the events unfolded after we recorded.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to say as much as we wanted to. So we're going to be doing that today, as well as talking about some of the responses that have been received with these allegations. So a lot of athletes are speaking out on social media, and there's been some not so great responses from other Texas Dreams athletes, which we're going to be talking about today. The allegations kind of started with Kennedy Baker and Ashton Kim, and we've now heard from some level 10 athletes, some of which aren't even trained by Kim and Chris, but now we're kind of seeing that it's a problem at the gym in general with all coaches, mm-hmm. or many coaches, I should say. And then the latest one came out just a few days ago, and that was Emily Stone. She was a level 10 gymnast. She actually trained at WOGA and Zenith Elite before coming to Texas Dreams. She said she had good experiences there, but came to Texas Dreams. She was there for about 8 months, and she trained under a coach named Johnny Schmelzer. And did not have a good experience, dealt with a lot of injuries, just like all the other Texas Dreams athletes, and was really emotionally and verbally abused during her entire time at Texas Dreams.
Yeah. I think. And ultimately, it ended her career early. She was supposed to be going to LSU, and she ended up retiring, so.
Which is the theme for a lot of Texas Dreams athletes. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to note that me and Brittany did reach out to Kim and Chris. We felt that it was appropriate just because we are talking about them and their gym, and we're talking about allegations made against them in their gym, so we wanted to give them a fair opportunity to say something.
Provide any sort of statement.
Yep. And to be honest, I wasn't expecting to hear back, and we have not, at least as of this recording. So if we have an update, we'll for sure post that on social media and perhaps mention it in our next podcast. But as of right now, we have not heard anything from Kim or Chris in response to any of the allegations against them or Texas Dreams.
All right, so I want to start by talking about perhaps the most prominent or successful athlete, I guess you could say, that has come from Texas Dreams, and that is Reagan Smith. She took the time to put together her own statement to post on her Instagram in response to some of the allegations that came out. So I'm going to start by reading her statement in case you either don't have an Instagram or if you didn't see it. So it's a picture of Reagan hugging Kim, and this is what she writes. I'm writing this today to address the accusations regarding Texas Dreams. I spent countless amount of hours, day in and day out, in that gym, and I've never experienced anything but love and support for Kim and Chris. I respect how my ex-teammates feel, and I'm not taking anything away from what was said, but I know in my heart that Kim and Chris do everything out of love and care for their athletes. I wouldn't be where I am without my teammates, and I want to thank them for that. Kim and Chris didn't only love their athletes as athletes, but they loved us as human beings and respected us. We have had many family events with them, and I grew so close to the Burdettes that I would consider them my second family. And then she tagged Kim and Texas Dreams.
So, yeah, this is problematic in a lot of different ways, and I'm not sure that she necessarily intended it to be problematic, but she obviously is just not realizing. First of all, she's saying that she respects how her teammates feel and she's not taking away anything from what they said, but then goes on to basically just take away from everything they said.
Yeah.
The statement's kind of contradictory because she's saying that she respects how all of her teammates feel, but then at the same time, she's saying that Chris and Kim respected all of their athletes, which obviously is not true because these girls wouldn't be speaking out if they felt respected by Kim and Chris.
Right, and Kennedy Baker talked in her statement about how there was a time, I forget if she said what championships it was, but
2009, her very first one.
Okay, yep. Kim actually cut Kennedy's hair without getting her permission, without asking for her parents' permission, and
yeah, before one of the biggest meets of her life at that point. You know, she's a young girl, first major elite competition. Kim comes barging in her hotel room and cuts off her hair because she doesn't like it.
Right. And so to say that I know that Kim and Chris respected all of their athletes as human beings, but then you have Kennedy who's saying that that was something that happened to her, I feel like, Reagan, honey, you're not in the place to really, like, comment on this. Mm-hmm. You were clearly treated different than Kennedy was.
Right.
And that all these athletes were that are speaking out.
And another thing, she says that Kim and Chris do everything out of love for their athletes, but she doesn't say Kim and Chris did everything for me out of love. She specifically says Kim and Chris do everything out of love for all their athletes, which is a textbook example of gaslighting because, again, very clearly, a lot of her teammates had bad experiences with Kim and Chris, and for her to say that they do everything out of love, well, you might have felt that way, Reagan, and that might be true for you, but
it's not for others.
Was she acting out of love when she cut Kennedy's hair? I don't think so. This kind of response is really no different than if you were to say to a victim of Larry Nassar's abuse, I'm sorry that happened to you, but he was good to me. I had a good experience with him. So, yeah, sorry that happened to you, but I think he was a good man with good intentions. It would literally be just like doing that.
Yeah.
And this is why I hate so much when gymnasts feel the need to post their positive experience at a time when another athlete or several athletes are speaking out about their bad experience. Because Reagan can sit there and say that she's not taking away from anything that her teammates are saying, but by posting the statement, that's exactly what she's doing. She's taking away from their moment to speak their truth.
And I think it's important to note, too, that, you know, we kind of said that Reagan is... Texas Dreams, first of all, they have a lot of really successful, well-known gymnasts. They've been one of the most well-known clubs in the United States for a couple years, you could say, mm-hmm. for several years. With Reagan being one of the most successful, prominent gymnasts to come from that gym, she's using her platform to completely negate the experiences of the other gymnasts. You know, we're hearing from some level 10 gymnasts who... A lot of us don't know who they are, except from hearing their statement. So then you have someone like Reagan Smith putting her statement out, and that's what a lot of people are going to see. I mean, thank goodness the gym trend is out here, like, sharing the statements.
And sharing it around.
Yeah, but, like, you know, the casual gym fan that's not really intertwined with the gym trend too much is not really going to see some of these other statements. They're going to see someone like Reagan's statement.
And they're automatically, most likely, without doing any research of their own, they're just going to see what Reagan says and then believe it. They're going to think that, you know, actually, I think it was on Reagan's post, I saw Benji Swimmer. He was on So You Can Dance.
Yeah.
At one point, I think he was also on Dancing with the Stars in the very first few seasons.
I believe so. I know for sure he was on
He was one of the professionals, I remember. But anyways, that's kind of irrelevant. I was just saying how I know him. He's commenting because he must know Kim, which I didn't know that, but he must.
It's probably a courtyard.
And he's kind of like doubting it. Like, oh, I want to see these allegations. Well, how about you do your research? Because it's out there.
Or how about you talk to the athletes?
Right. You don't just comment on Reagan's post, who's basically dismissing her teammate's experience and kind of, imply that, yeah, I can't believe this. Like, I know Kim. This can't be true.
Well, the other thing, too, is, like, are you in the gym? Did you train under Kim and Chris or any of the other coaches that are being mentioned?
Right.
Because no, you didn't.
And the chances
And it's easy to sit there as an outsider, as somebody who's met Kim a few times or has worked with her professionally in some way, to sit there and be like, she's not like that. I don't know where they're getting this from. Because all abusers are, in a sense, normal people who can do good things for people. Like, just because you're an abuser doesn't mean that you're, like, Satan on earth and you walk around and are horrible to every single person you come in contact with.
Right. And another thing, too, is that an abuser doesn't abuse every person they come in contact with. So, yes, there are probably plenty of athletes out there that do have a good, you know, story with Kim and Chris. So we're not doubting that. And we're not doubting that, you know, Kim is not, you know, somewhere deep down a good person. But that doesn't mean that she's not done anything wrong.
Yes.
And that's why it's important that we're listening to these girls' stories, because I believe that they're telling the truth, and I think we should all believe that they're telling the truth, because they don't have any reason to lie about this.
Right. What's the incentive to lie about them?
Exactly. And also now, like, just because Athlete A came out, you think athletes are just going to start making up stories about their coaches for attention?
No. There's nothing in it for them to come forward with their experience other than to put it out there and possibly start a healing process. There's nothing in it for them.
Maddie Larson is another gymnast from Texas Dreams that felt the need to craft up some kind of response to these allegations and share her story. So in her post on Instagram, she not only announced her retirement from the sport from injuries, chronic injuries, go figure, but she also used that as a time to share her great experience with Kim and Chris.
Wow, so brave.
Right?
Exactly. She's so brave.
Also, real quickly, now that you say that, that reminds me. Reagan Smith also commented on one of her teammates' posts. One second, let me get the name so I have it correct. Addie Davis, that's who it was. She posted a statement on Instagram also talking about her wonderful experience with Kim and Chris, and then Reagan Smith comments on it, amazing girly, so proud of you. Like, what are you proud of? Like, what about this is something that's worthy of being proud of? You're proud of your teammate for negating your other teammate's experiences?
And you know what? It takes a lot of bravery to do that, so...
Oh, I'm sure it does. Total sarcasm, by the way. Another Texas Dreams athlete that I wanted to talk about was Maddie Larson. So, she kind of has an interesting story. She came from Colorado Aerials, which is the gym that Tom Forrester used to coach at. He might have owned, I don't have that detail on me right now, but he was her coach.
I know he was the coach.
Yes, yeah. And he was her coach at Colorado Aerial. So this is going to come into play here in a second. So she posted a statement on Instagram, just like all the others, talking about her amazing experience with Kim and Chris. She also announced her retirement from the sport, which is very ironic, given that she was chronically injured and is a very young girl. I think she's 14, and her career is coming to an end because of injuries. And the thing that really got me on this one was Lori Forster, who is the wife of Tom Forster, who is the national team coordinator. She commented on Maddie Larson's post, basically saying, like, good job for speaking out, and, like, shame on all these people for bullying you, because she got a lot of pushback, understandably, just like Reagan did, for feeling the need to put out a statement during this time, specifically.
Yeah.
She could have said her wonderful words about Kim and Chris any other time. She has to do it right now, of course.
Yeah.
And she says that Maddie should turn all these people into safe sport, and says, isn't this the very issue that got USA Gymnastics into trouble in the first place?
No, it's not, you idiot.
Like, this is such a bad look. This is not good at all. people were silenced for speaking out about abuse. That's what got USA Gymnastics to where they are today.
And you're commenting on somebody's post who is, in a sense, trying to silence people for speaking out about abuse, and you're telling them good job and to report all these bullies to Safe Sport? You're literally doing exactly what the problem has been, you idiot.
I honestly am shocked that she did this. Being the wife of Tom Forster.
So is this like a bad look for him even then? That's like, are we...
It's hard because he's not the one that said it.
But then it's like, it's his wife. And it's like, if that's how she thinks, I bet that's how he thinks.
But it's just the fact that she says, like, she clearly has no idea how this works or what's going on. The fact that she says, this is how USA Gymnastics got here in the first place. USA Gymnastics got here because people are sharing their positive stories and then being bullied. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. So USA Gymnastics got here because they're not allowed to speak out about their bad experiences.
Because this happens.
And now you, Maddie, and everyone else, are coming forward, silencing your teammates by sharing your good experience in a time where they've worked up the courage to finally share their story.
Yeah.
Ugh. I honestly can't believe that happened.
No. Well, and this gets worse because... My favorite thing, and again, heavy, like, on the sarcasm here, my favorite thing that happened was Reagan Campbell, who, she was never an elite, right? She was only a level 10.
Yeah, I believe so. She might have been an elite for, like, a hot second, but she was a level 10, I believe.
Many of you may know her. She's at LSU right now, going into her senior year.
Yep, and she's a beautiful beam worker.
Yeah, well, she's not a beautiful person. She's annoying as hell. So, me, like, I'm also trying to tone this down. Please know that. Like, I could be way more aggressive with this, but I'm going to try and be, like, pleasant.
Her response is really frustrating. It's the words she uses. It's the way she went about what she said. That is making us very angry, and understandably so, I think.
So, Peyton Altman, she was a level 10 gymnast at Texas Dreams, and again, posted a statement. She was not trained under Kim and Chris. She was trained by Marcus and Alicia. And so she posts her statement. You can go to her Instagram and look. It's just Peyton Altman. So, Reagan Campbell felt the need to comment this. Sorry this happened to you, ... Have you personally confronted Marcus and Alicia about this? Or are you just posting this on social media? I would also think about writing something to your parents who obviously knew what was going on because of the injuries, but let you continue to go on like this. Glad you're wanting to make a change or bring awareness to the culture of gymnastics, but remember, change starts within, not on your social media feed. Hope you find peace. Like, the way I read that clearly was, like, more like, but I'm annoyed.
That is the shittiest thing, excuse my language, but that is the shittiest thing that she could have commented on that post. I'm appalled that she said that. And also the fact that she's a current competing athlete for LSU. Like, this is not a good look.
For me, it's the change starts from within, not on your social media feed little remark that you made. Because that's just the farthest thing from the truth. This type of change that we're trying to make happen for the culture of gymnastics all around the world does not start with the victims or the survivors and within them.
Yeah.
Like, what does that even mean? Like, if you were abused by your coach, whether it's verbally, emotionally, physically, sexually, whatever it may be, change starts from within. Remember that. Change starts from within.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
She's literally shifting the blame and putting it onto the victim or the survivor.
Change does not start from within the victim or the survivor. It starts with holding people accountable, the people who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And with a sport like gymnastics that has this history and that's been going on like this for years, in its entirety, This is the way that we're bringing about change, is having gymnasts find their voice and use their platform, social media, to bring about the change and to share their story.
Yes, and to go back to Lori Forster's statement, that is how we've got here today, because athletes haven't been able to speak out. One, because social media wasn't a thing way back when, but also because they couldn't. They didn't feel comfortable. They weren't able to. They didn't think it was okay.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of starting to create this culture where it is okay. These athletes, I'm hoping, know that they're going to have support. They're finding the courage and the bravery and working themselves up to be able to speak out. And that's how you bring about change, by holding people accountable, not by doing something internally with yourself. She didn't do anything wrong.
It's absolutely disgusting to me that she even tried to insinuate that change comes from within.
And also that she says, you contemplate writing something to your parents because they knew.
So now she's also trying to put the blame on the parents.
Right.
Putting the blame everywhere than where it should be, and that's on the coaches.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're angry now, hold on to your shit, because it gets worse. She then comments, because she receives a lot of backlash, understandably so, for what she said, and she types out this big, long-winded, horrible response.
Which was quickly deleted, by the way.
Yes.
Someone posted screenshots, so...
But it has a very, like, come at me, bro attitude. Should I read the whole statement?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Because it was deleted, so the chances that everyone has seen this is not likely.
Okay. So she says, for everyone replying back to my comment, thank you. I understand what y'all have to say and why you feel the need to say it. I don't know if y'all already know this, but y'all act like you know me and my story. But I've been doing gymnastics for 20 years now, so we can sit down in person and talk about my story and what I went through, since y'all like to throw around the I'm victim blaming, in quotation marks.
You are. But go ahead.
I think a lot of people would say y'all doing that right back at me, with like a laughing emoji. But go ahead, I don't care. You don't know me, you don't know my heart or my intentions, you don't know Peyton or how she acted.
Mm.
Hold off, Brittany, hold off. Peyton doesn't even know the changes that I and many others have already seen in these coaches. They're learning and growing, and that's all you can ask. I bet you also didn't know, after all that, Peyton went back to work /coach for Texas Dreams. Believe she was working there before the pandemic. Again, I'm in no way discrediting or desensitizing how these victims feel. You are. Because I went through it all and more. I'm also not bashing her for having a bad experience at Texas Dreams, but I am calling people out for being two-faced about it. I'm tired of it. So come at me.
So basically everything she said in that, she's contradicting herself.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you don't know me and you don't know my heart or my intentions. First of all, we're glad we don't know you because you sound like a bitch, to be honest. Sorry, not sorry. And then second of all, we don't know your intentions. No, I think you made your intentions pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Also, she says, we're trying to victim blame her. But that doesn't really make sense because she never came out in her original comment, or anywhere, to my knowledge, she has not come forward as a victim.
So all how can we be victim blaming you when you're...
Right, we don't know your story.
When you're claiming that you're not a victim because the coaches at Texas Dreams are great.
She's getting really defensive and acting like, you guys don't know me and what I've been through. Well, first of all, you're now kind of validating the original post anyway, so it sounds like you did have a bad experience at Texas Dreams. If we don't know you and your story, you want to sit down and have a talk, you know, whatever she was saying. So she's, first of all, she's kind of validating what everyone's saying about them anyways. But then... to say that, you know, we're victim blaming her. Well, no one knows that you're a victim. And if you are a victim, Reagan, no one is blaming you for that either. What we're blaming you for and what we're angry about is the way you're coming at your teammates for sharing their experience. You are responsible for that, and you're at fault for the way you're choosing to handle somebody else speaking out about their experience and their trauma. And also... acting like you're, like, holier than them. Like,
yeah.
You're the ethics police. You know, questioning why she's posting this on social media. Why is she saying this to your parents?
Well, I didn't like that she was trying to call out Peyton on Peyton's post.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's in the comments trying to call this girl out for working at Texas Dreams before the pandemic. But it's like... did I say pandemic weird?
No.
Okay, because I feel like I did. Anyways, I was like, did I say that right? She's in this girl's comments, like, coming at her for working at Texas Dreams, like, not that long ago. But it's like, the Athlete A documentary has come out since then. Mm-hmm. And as we're seeing, that's kind of triggering a lot for a lot of gymnasts. And it's making them realize that what they've been dealing with in the sport is not normal. They thought it was normal, and that's understandable. We know why they think and they feel that way. So... it's not Reagan's place to criticize where Peyton was at in her journey with processing what happened to mm-hmm. her. And if right now was the time that she realized it, then great. It doesn't matter if she was working at Texas Dreams 3 months ago. She realized it now. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to silence her. So kind of going back to where she's like, you don't know my intentions. You're making your intentions very clear with this.
And also she's being really hypocritical because she's complaining about the fact that basically because Peyton posted this on social media instead of handling it in private. But she's also doing this on social media.
Yeah.
If she really felt so strongly about this, why didn't she text or direct message or whatever? Why didn't she privately contact Peyton? Why did she do it on a public post? The hypocrisy is real.
Right. Because once again, she's trying to invalidate people's feelings. So your intention, Reagan, is very clear. I normally don't come at people like this, but, like, she 100% deserves it.
And until she apologizes, I think that people have a right to be very angry with the way she handled this, because it's gross.
Yes. And also, we kind of wanted to get into, like, cancel culture, so we're going to talk about that a little bit here at the end. Because I do think I have some thoughts on that. So,
but there's been so much lately going on in the gymnastics world with people's responses to allegations of abuse, racism, whatever it may be. Tia Kiyaku was another one recently that we've heard a lot about. She was actually on our show, so if you heard that, she goes into great detail about her experience, and we talked to her a lot about how her teammates and her coaches handled the whole situation. So if you haven't checked that out, you should do so, because it's a really great interview. But I think a lot of people are already aware of the way some of the Alabama girls handled the situation on social media. The first one that really got us going was Makari Doggett. She felt the need to tell us that there's a difference between a racist and making a racially insensitive comment. That was in a statement that she put out on her Instagram.
Right.
She said that. And then she also said that she feels the coaches are in no way racist or will go out of their way to purposely harm any of the athletes.
Yeah.
She also said that there were meetings held that Tia didn't attend and mentioned that she left the university altogether, which she did, understandably so, because why the heck would she want to stay there when this is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But she's basically making this about how Tia responded to what happened to her.
And not about what actually happened.
Yeah, so it's similar to what we just talked about with the Texas Dreams girls and the things that they're saying. It's like, you're making this about something that it's not. This isn't about how Tia responded to what happened to her and the blatant racism that happened. It's about the people that are being racist. And for you to come out with a statement and say that there's a difference between being a racist and then making a racially insensitive comment, I don't think so.
Yeah. And there was also Luisa Blanco. She was another one that was annoying me during that whole, like, thing, because she was, like, alluding on Twitter to the fact that, like, there's another side to the story, and if only you guys knew. And then, however many hours later, even though people are still, like, attacking her, and, like, they're going off on her, and she still continues to, like, press on with this, like, there's another story narrative, she, like, quote tweeted Aja Sims.
We finally get to know what this other side is.
And she goes, this is the other side I was talking about. And it's Aja Sims saying that she had a good experience.
It's Aja Sims.
Aja Sims. Really?
Yes.
I feel like I've always said Aja Sims.
No, sis, it's Aja Sims. But okay. Go on.
Well, either way, the point still stands. It's like, you're saying that somebody else had a good experience, so that's the other side.
Yes, the other side is that another black gymnast, she was a gymnast at one point in time, another black gymnast had a good experience, so racism doesn't actually exist here.
Right.
That's exactly. That's the other side of the
Thank
story.
Thank you so much for letting us know that.
Right. Hot take that was definitely needed.
We also saw a lot of this with Larry Nassar.
I would say before he got charged with the child pornography,
yeah,
that's kind of when he lost a lot of his support. But I remember just on Facebook, because I was actually friends with Larry on Facebook before all this happened, and I would occasionally just go to his wall and just see what kind of things people were posting on there. And there was a lot of people saying, like, we support you. This is horrible. I'm so sorry you're going through this. And it's like, could you imagine being one of the people that was abused by him and then seeing people supporting him?
Oh, I know.
This is why, like, social media can be bad sometimes. Because, like, it can be bad to people that are trying to heal from something.
Yeah.
If I personally was going through something, like, I would probably delete all my social media and, like, throw my phone out the window because, like, you know, people handle things like that.
Yeah, it's hard enough to deal with that type of stuff as it already is. And then you have people trying to invalidate your experience, invalidate your feelings, mm-hmm. tell you that it didn't happen that way, you misinterpreted it, you know, whatever the case may be.
Gaslighting.
Yeah, it's very common, as we're seeing. Another one was, this is another one that I love.
This one makes me want to throw up.
Is Olivia Greaves' mom. This was back when everything was going on with Maggie Haney, but I think it was before she got, like, her...
It was before the 8-year suspension.
Yes, yep.
But this was when she was under investigation.
So, a little recap in case you forgot about this statement. So, Olivia's mom says, she starts this off by going, I just want to, like, start off by saying it's an Olympic year and we need our coach back now. That's, like, literally how she starts it off. And we're like, okay, like, no offense, but we don't care about your daughter training for the Olympics right now. Like, when gymnasts are coming forward with their stories of severe physical and emotional abuse, we don't really care that your gymnast lost her coach while she's training for the Olympics, but go off. Then she says, my daughter's mental health has been compromised by the acts of others who have been intentionally misrepresenting Coach Henny. Seeing my daughter so emotional, knowing there's nothing I can do for it as a mother, my heart breaks. Olivia has been told she is forbidden to speak with or train with Coach Haney. This is cruel. Olivia is shattered. It's not about your daughter, lady.
Yeah, and to be honest, with everything that we've heard that Maggie did, Maggie and Victoria Levine, it's probably for the best that your daughter doesn't have contact with Maggie Haney, because she might have been having a good experience up until this point, but at some point or another, your daughter would have been the next one, most likely. The second your daughter is not performing the way she wants you to, she's not learning the skill quick enough, she probably could have been next.
She also goes on to say, Coach Maggie has created a safe environment, always making sure the girls can be the best they can be on and off the mat. The allegations against Maggie are completely unfounded, and I know them to be untrue based upon my own personal experiences and observations. You weren't even there!
Well, she says she was. She's saying that she was there for a lot of the practices.
No, she's a psycho.
Well, I want to know why she was there, because isn't it MJ Leeds' policy that the parents weren't allowed to be in the gym? Isn't it in their handbook?
Yeah, their handbook said that. And, like, even if she had a lot of experience with Maggie, again, we're repeating ourselves here, just because you saw a different side of someone or you had a good experience with them, doesn't mean that there isn't another side.
Also, the audacity of her to say that the allegations against Maggie are untrue based on her personal experiences and observations. I'd like to point out that I'm pretty positive that Olivia Greaves didn't get to MG Elite until 2016.
Yeah.
So, we know some of this stuff was happening long before then, because Lori was at MG Elite basically her whole life, or she was her whole life as a gymnast.
Yeah.
And she became an elite gymnast in 2012. And there's other gymnasts that weren't, you know, said by name, but we have a pretty good idea of who they were. And there were a lot of gymnasts, high-level gymnasts, training under Maggie, having horrible things happen to them before Olivia Greaves got there. So for her to say that these allegations are untrue based on what I've seen, like, who do you think you are?
You haven't seen everything.
That statement is so, so ignorant. And then she also says, the suspension needs to be reversed. It was not appropriate to be placed. Do not dilute the reputation of a gymnastics coach with ludicrous allegations. Well, you know what, Mary Jo? I think you're ludicrous.
You know, the thing is, I forgot about the statement. Like, I knew her mom said something, but, like, it's been a while since I've read it, and it's horrible. It's literally just horrible.
One thing I think we should say, just to be fair, I don't know if it's ever been discovered, like, where the statement came from. It kind of one day just appeared and was circulating around the internet. I never personally saw this posted from Mary Jo's social media accounts or anything like that. It is possible, I saw someone suggest this, it's possible that it was a statement that was written in support of Maggie Haney for the hearing. And then somehow got leaked.
So I mean, it doesn't change how horrible it is.
No. I do think, though, because we're being a little bit hostile here, it's very likely that she said it, because Olivia Greaves also posted a photo series of, you know, pictures of her and Maggie, and then says, I will always stand by you like you've stood by me. Love you. And then she tagged her and said, hashtag my second mom. So that shows me
that's clearly how the people in that camp feel.
Yeah. So it wouldn't shock me if her mom actually did write that statement. But I did just want to put that out there that, like, I guess we technically don't know 100% for sure who wrote that. I guess it could be someone trying to, like, sabotage her mom. I mean, I kind of feel like that's not likely. But I guess if we're going to give her the benefit of the doubt, I guess there is a small possibility that it wasn't her. But Olivia did post her own statement in support of Maggie. And also, I think it's interesting that she still has MG Elite in her bio, although she's training at WCC.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, if you go to her Instagram bio, it says MG Elite, which is possible she just didn't think to change it. Or she still is in love with Maggie. Who knows?
She probably is. I mean, again, this is kind of, I think maybe this is a good transition to, like, the cancel culture, like, topic. Because a lot of this, I feel like, is no shade to the children, the young people here. Mm-hmm. I think that me and you know that from our own personal experiences and just growing up, you know, it is possible for young people, people under the age of 18, to say some really stupid, ignorant things and look back on it and regret it or realize that you were wrong.
Yeah, so there's I've done that plenty of times.
Yeah, and so have I. I think there's still a lot of room for growth for a lot of these girls. So I try not to hold it against them too much, even though it can be frustrating in the moment. But when it comes to older adults, parents, anybody who's old enough, in my opinion, to know better.
And that's where the accountability comes to the coaches, not the athlete, kind of circling back to Reagan Campbell's comment. That's where the responsibility needs to be on the coaches, because the coaches are full-blown adults. They should know that this kind of behavior is not acceptable. It's not the athlete's responsibility to, you know, find it within themselves to do something different.
To heal from their own abuse, like, completely on their own without ever talking
about it. Right, or to insinuate that, like, if you said something to your coach, this would be better. Like, we know damn well that speaking up to your coach just gets you in trouble, doesn't actually solve the problem. And I guess there probably maybe are some coaches that, oh my god, I'm so sorry, like, I'll not do that again. Like, I'm sure there are coaches
that handle it that way. But that's not the coaches that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And that's been, like, proven over years.
Yes, these are coaches that when you speak up, you get punished harder, you get injured, you lose your love for the sport. I mean, you face the coaches potentially sabotaging you with scholarships.
Yeah.
There's a, it goes on and on, the horrible things that can happen if you do speak up to your coach.
Right.
So, again, I think the biggest message, the biggest takeaway here is that the responsibility needs to be on the adults in this, not so much the kids and the young athletes.
I also did want to touch a little bit on why these types of responses even happen in the first place. And I think it's because a lot of gymnasts feel defensive when they see someone that they love being, air quote, attacked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Reagan Campbell did have a good experience at Texas Dreams, I understand, or Reagan Smith, or anybody, you know what I mean? I could see why it would be hard for them to see other people publicly talking about their bad experience, knowing that maybe they did have a good experience, and they feel compelled to defend that person. But as we know, that's also how abuse continues, because those people can also, in a sense, be viewed as enablers, because just because one person had a good experience, if five girls are saying that they had a bad experience, that one person can't just stand up and be like, well, I had a good experience, so, like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. And I also think it kind of goes back to having empathy at the end of the day. It's understanding that even though you had a good experience, you have to be able to understand that other people might have a different experience than you, and just try and, like, understand how they feel. Even when posting a statement on social media, the nerves and the back and forth contemplation in their head before they actually come out and post that, that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And just having a little bit of empathy for those girls in that situation. They're not doing this to ruin someone's life.
You know, it reminds me of, I hope you don't mind me, like, putting you on blast here for this.
Oh, gosh.
Well, no, it's you experienced when you were in college, I forget, this was like 2 years ago now.
I don't know what you're talking about. So you
with Larry. Ironically, his name is Larry.
Oh, okay. You can tell the story. It's okay.
Well, unless you want to tell it because it's your story, but I feel like it's relevant to this.
I have really bad trauma and I forgot what happened. Can you help me?
I was saying how you felt bad for outing Larry, is my point with this.
Yeah, I guess that is a good tie-in here, because this happened to me as an adult. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of it because it's not relevant to this, but long story short, he was being inappropriate. He's my boss, and he was making inappropriate sexual comments. He was getting too close to me, almost trying to, like, groom me is what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Inviting her to, like, do things with his family, mm-hmm. and, like, pulling her into his office and just saying, like, weird things.
He needs me.
He doesn't know what he's going to do without her. Sexual comments.
Making, yes, like, sexual comments to me.
Yeah, but I felt, and still in some ways today, I still feel like bad for reporting him. And I literally was having like turmoil in my head, talking to my family, talking to some of my friends that I worked with who also knew him, trying to figure out if I should say something. And this wasn't even a public spectacle. This was handled privately.
Yeah.
But I still felt bad because I almost in a way didn't want him to lose his job. My goal with coming forward was not to ruin his life. I wanted it to stop to make sure it didn't happen to anyone that came after me. And that's exactly what happens with these athletes. I highly doubt that any of these athletes want to ruin anyone's life by doing this. And their things, yes, they are kind of a public thing. So it's a little bit more, there's a little bit more on the line when they come forward publicly, whereas mine was like a private thing and no one knew about it besides the people that I told. But it just goes to show you that people sometimes they want to make things better for the people that come after them, and it's not about getting anyone in trouble.
No, and I know that you had, like, even after you reported it, you felt guilty because you felt like he taught you a lot.
He has.
About journalism, and like, you still to this day, you talk about all the things that he did for you as far as like your learning.
Truly.
And how you're grateful for it.
I learned more from him than I've ever learned in journalism class, any other opportunity that I've had. Everything I know is because of him. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful to him for that. But that doesn't make what he did okay. And I think I'm justified in reporting him because what he's doing is not okay. And I am old enough and strong enough to be able to handle being uncomfortable with the things that he said and did, but not everyone is.
Yeah.
And the things that he was doing could have negatively impacted somebody else a lot worse than it did me, which is why it was important to me to report him. I feel like we're kind of going off on a tangent here, but it's just so important.
I think it's very telltale, though. It's like you have even your own personal real-life example to explain kind of how somebody who's a victim of something, their thought process.
They can report something and still at the same time being like, why am I doing this? I should not have done this. There's so many times, and you know what? I forgot. I should admit this, too. I went back maybe a couple months after that, after I basically was no longer working there and he knew what happened. I kind of apologized in an email.
Yeah.
And I understand now still why I did it. I think I felt so bad for getting him, in air quotes, in trouble.
You're worrying that he's going to lose his job and he's not going to be able to support his family.
Yep.
And those are the thoughts that are running through your head when you came out to, you know, the higher ups at this university. And
people just need to realize the amount of guilt and the confliction that goes through these people's heads. And I can't even imagine for a gymnast who has a million other things going through their head, you know, injuries and, you know, college scholarships and whatever and other, you know, really horrible things. And knowing that it is a public thing.
Yeah.
And that the gym internet's going to catch wind of it. And you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't imagine having to go through that. So I feel like people need to have a little bit more empathy when it comes to these situations.
For sure. Because these girls, like you said, they're going through enough. And it's like the last thing they need is backlash from anyone.
I think another important thing to note about why athletes feel the need to say something is sometimes they are pressured into saying something. And this might tie into Olivia Greaves a little bit. We also saw this with Tasha Swikert. She was a 2000 Olympian. Do you remember when USA Gymnastics released a statement back when the whole Larry Nassar thing started to blow up? We had a statement come out from Tasha Swikert. I don't remember word for word what it
said. She basically said she had a good experience.
Yes. With USAG. And everyone was like, what the heck? Like, everyone was kind of pissed at Tasha for coming forward at that time. But we know now, and she's also said, that she was pressured by Steve Penny to, you know, sign the statement. She didn't even write the damn statement. Steve Penny wrote it, put her name on it, blasted it out on social media. She got even more bullshit on top of everything else she was going through. At the time, she was pregnant. She said she was very vulnerable. She was preparing for her bar exam to be a lawyer. And at that time, she hadn't even really had, you know, the opportunity to process what happened with not only Larry Nassar and being sexually abused, but also the manipulation at USA Gymnastics.
Yeah.
So that poor girl is, you know, being manipulated and pressured into saying something or putting out like a statement that's not even how she feels. And I think that could be a lot of what we see sometimes too when athletes post these statements.
Yeah.
They haven't necessarily even processed their own trauma or their own experience.
No, and they feel compelled to because they want to protect
even if it's not, like, intentional, you know, in that moment, they're thinking, like, I love this person. This person's done a lot for me. I want to, like, protect this person. I want to help them. I want, you know, to change how all these people are viewing this person that I know who has done something different for me. Mm-hmm. Tasha, you know, she's been successful within USA Gymnastics. There might have been a part of her that felt compelled to protect and stand up for USA Gymnastics, when in reality, when she actually dug deeper, there was a lot more to it. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk a little bit more about cancel culture. And Brittany, you brought up a good point to me, and we saw people talking about this on Twitter. How do we feel about the athletes liking controversial posts? So, you know, Regan Smith, for example, a lot of prominent elite athletes liked her post. Is that something to be angry at them about? Is that something to cancel them over? What are your thoughts on that?
I would say no. Again, a lot of these girls are just that, girls. They're under the age of 18, and their brains are still developing. There's so many different facets to this. They could not know the full story. They could just be supporting somebody, you know, Regan Smith, because that's their friend. Mm-hmm. Like, there's different reasons, I think, why somebody, Flavia liked one of the posts. You know, Flavia could have just been scrolling through and, you know, she does, I don't know how well she reads English, but...
Wasn't Flavia a, I forget what they're called, for Kim Zemeskal's Texas Prime Meet, wasn't she one of the...
I think she was. So there's some connection there to Kim Zemeskal.
There's a word I'm trying to look for, we need to
like
find
ambassador.
It. Ambassador, yeah. They, basically, Kim has her meet, so people know what we're talking about. Kim has a meet, and she has, like, different teams. Legends.
Yes.
It's a Legends
meet. Yeah.
And she has, like, groups with someone leading each team, and I believe Flavia was one of the team leaders at one point.
Right.
So she knows Kim.
So
she probably has a good experience with Kim.
Right, and also it's very possible that she's scrolling through her Instagram feed, she sees a picture of Regan hugging Kim, and she just likes it, double taps, mm-hmm. and keeps scrolling. You know, not making excuses, but I do think that there
Instagram
could be
Instagram is
reasons.
A very visual site, that's the point of it, is pictures. And it is possible people like things without reading the captions, especially if it's a long one. Sometimes I do that. I just scroll, I'm like, oh, cute photo, or whatever, and I like it.
Yeah.
And I don't actually take time to read it.
Well, I think it just shows the different reasons why somebody may have liked something. Maybe it's intentional, maybe it wasn't. I try not to read too much into stuff like that, to be honest. I'm more upset and willing to cancel people who are, first of all, adults. I would say probably over the age of 20. And who are going out of their way to type something out or say something to someone, mm-hmm. aka Regan Campbell. In my opinion, I'm ready to cancel Regan Campbell. I'm like, let's go. Let's do it. Because what she did was just point blank wrong. She is almost 22 years old. In my opinion, that's old enough to know what victim shaming is. She knew exactly what she was doing when she typed that out. And I just feel like that's bullying in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I may have been really aggressive when I was speaking about her earlier, but I am truly frustrated and offended on behalf of the gymnasts who were survivors of Texas Dreams. And, you know, I'm angry on their behalf.
Right.
Because people can't do stuff like what she did and then just get to move on and act like it didn't happen. I'm not saying that she deserves to, like, not have a happy life.
Or to be bullied. Or...
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, I'm not supporting her anymore.
Right.
I won't be, like, cheering for her to get tens. I view her differently now. And anybody who's supporting her, I view them differently because what she did was so wrong and she was old enough to know it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I agree with you. But I do think it's a little bit challenging because you don't reach full brain development until you're 25. And I know that's probably hard to believe because we're not even 25 yet. And it's like, so what? Should anything that we say be taken with a grain of salt? You know what I mean? It's like, at what point are you actually intelligent enough to know? I posted this on Twitter, but like I've posted really, really, really ignorant, cringy, like, wish I wasn't on this earth anymore things because... I said it when I was 18 in high school, and at that time, I thought I was smart, a sweet girl. I thought I knew it all. I thought I was very, like, mature developmentally.
Yeah, every year I think I'm mature, and then another year goes by, and I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. I'm so much more mature than I was last year.
So
but
it's
you
like,
think in that moment that you're mature.
Exactly.
That's a good point. No, you're bringing up a valid point.
So it's like, if you don't reach full mature brain development until you're 25, it's like, is it possible that she can look back on that and cringe? Is it possible that she could change? And that I actually feel that way.
Yeah, there is a possibility. Based off the language that she was using, the tone of her voice, and the tone of her typing, I kind of get the impression that she won't. I think she very much feels the way that she feels.
She's angry.
And she was very deliberate in what she did. I feel that 100%. She was deliberate in what she was doing there. And that, to me, is a little bit harder to forgive than, you know, say, this is another thing that's been going around. Michaela Skinner, back when she was 16, this is the year of the Olympics, she retweeted something with the N-word in it.
Yeah, it was a friend, I think, was like quoting like a song lyric, and she said the N-word, and then Michaela retweeted it.
Yes.
And like, she thought it was funny.
And I remember people being like really upset about it then, and it somehow got brought back up this past week, and that I'm more willing to forgive, because she was 16, and I don't even want you guys to know half the stupid shit that I said and did at the age of 16. It's embarrassing.
I don't either.
And that's my point, though. I, as a person, can sit here and look back at all the things that I've said and done and realize ways that I've been wrong, but then also I can't sit here at the same time and then judge other 16-year-olds, whether it's 16-year-olds now or, you know, somebody when they were 16. I've grown since then. I would like to think that Michaela has too.
Yeah, you can almost look back and you see yourself as a completely different person. Like, I'm not the same person that I was when I was even 18, a senior in high school. I sit here now and I look back and I'm like, holy crap, how many people did I offend with what I said, thinking that I was funny or just truly being ignorant and like truly not knowing what I was saying.
Yeah.
But I look back now and I'm like, oh my God, like, do all these people hate me because I said this? And I just now realize that I'm saying these things because I was scrolling through my own Instagram looking at photos. And yeah, I'm like, I'm not that same person as I was back then. I'm a completely different person now. Completely.
Yeah.
So I do think that people change. But what about coaches? Full-ass adult coaches.
Full-ass adults.
No, like, Dana Duckworth, Kim Zemesko, Chris Burdett, do you think they're capable of change?
I think initially with Kim, like in our last week's episode, not last week, but our last episode, we were talking about Texas Dreams and Kim and Chris, and I was saying that, you know, I feel like this could be something they could, like, come back from. And there is a part of me that wants to believe that, but more and more has come out since we recorded that episode. And I think the more you hear from other athletes and their experiences, you realize that this has been going on for so long. Yeah. And
these aren't old allegations. Like, these are things that are, you know, relatively recent. They're not, it's not like Kim was acting this way when she was a 20-year-old coach and now she's, you know, I don't know how old she is, but you know what I mean? It's not like these were things she did in the very beginning when she first started coaching and she's learned now.
No, they're within the last 10 years.
Yeah. So, like, if you thought it was okay in 2009 to cut Kennedy Baker's hair, like, I just have a hard time imagining that you suddenly had this epiphany and needed to change when you weren't even called out on it. I mean, she may have been privately, but it doesn't sound like she was. It sounds like just now.
People are coming
Everything's coming out. But, like, what inspired you to change? If you, this whole time, everyone thought you were great and you were praised and you were never held accountable for anything you did, how can we trust that you've changed? Reagan talked about, you know, Peyton wasn't here to see all the changes. But, like, it sounds like, you know, a lot of these girls, they're speaking out and they had good experiences from the start. Who are you to say that things have changed when you didn't experience anything in the first place? And I'm not saying that Peyton didn't, because we don't know, because she didn't say. Just a quick edit. I meant to say Reagan, not Peyton. It's just, like, there's so many bad stories that have already come out, and they are relatively recent. So I'm more inclined to believe that Kim hasn't changed, and she probably hasn't even contemplated changing until maybe right now because everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. And for the record, you said Peyton. I just want to clarify, we're talking about Peyton Altman, not Peyton Earnest. Peyton Earnest hasn't said anything, just because I feel like we're talking about all these different elite gymnasts, and I just don't want there to be, like, confusion.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, we're talking about Peyton Altman, the level 10 gymnast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing with Dana Duckworth, you know, Alabama, Tia Kiyaku, and the other coaches there as well. I don't know if they are capable of change, which is why we've been pretty aggressive about wanting to get them fired, because they're adults and they should know better. We had a whole episode about racism and, you know, our interview with Tia, which you guys definitely need to check out, where we kind of talk about that in greater depth. But yeah, I think my ultimate feeling is when you're an adult like that, you should know better. And these are choices that you've made, even if it's because of the environment you came from. But that's still not an excuse. You know, Kim might have come from a not-so-great training environment when she was trained by Martin and Bella Crowley. But with the technology that's available today, the resources that are available today, there is no excuse for you to still be upholding some of the same coaching tactics that were used on you when mm-hmm. you were a gymnast
yeah.
to be using that today.
I think, yeah, my overall feeling in regards to, like, canceling people, I know some people don't like cancel culture because it can be very, like, mob mentality. It could be very, you know, a couple people say this is their experience and everyone's like, cancel these bitches, like, get them out of here. But I think when it comes to abuse, you have to almost be like that. This is the kind of thing we do have to take seriously. So if we have, you know, several girls saying that this is their experience with Texas Dreams, I'm not saying that they're horrible people overall. They deserve to, like, rot in hell somewhere. Like, I just think that, like, they need to take time away from their sport and maybe they can be successful in another area in their life, but I just don't think it's going to be with gymnastics anymore, considering that they've had so many gymnasts with bad experiences. I feel like that's the only way to go about it. It's very similar to how we felt with Maggie Haney. You know, once you know these things about someone, it's hard to look past that anymore.
Yeah, especially when...
And pretend like it didn't happen.
Especially when the allegations are so serious. This isn't just, you know, one time, not that this is okay, but, you know, one time you called an athlete fat. Like, that's rude. You really shouldn't be doing that. That can really damage a young girl's self-confidence and their self-worth. But, like, that's something that you could learn from.
Yeah.
But, like...
If it was more of an isolated incident, which that type of stuff usually is not, just for the record. But I get what you're saying. Your point is that, like, when it comes to child abuse and allegations that are as serious as these...
And deep-seated, like, even within the culture of, like, the United States, like, racism and stuff like that, like, that's... Those things are, like, systemic. And even in gymnastics, the abuse and... Those are systemic problems that
just keep, like, living on.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, like, put an end to it, but then it's, like, how else do you do that other than calling people out, holding people accountable, and getting rid of the people in these institutions who are upholding those values. Okay, so moving on, we want to talk a little bit about Alyssa Beckerman's statement. She was a gymnast on the UCLA gymnastics team from the years 2001 to 2003. And in case you didn't know, she was also the Olympic alternate to the 2000 Olympic team. And she released a pretty lengthy statement where she talks about her experience on the UCLA gymnastics team and also her experience with Miss Vale, who has kind of been known in the gymnastics world as being this super kind, friendly, gentle coach that...
The perfect coach that the sport of gymnastics so badly needs because we're such a toxic sport that we need someone like Miss Vale to make it all better.
Yeah, that's sort of her brand, I guess you could say. And Alyssa basically confirmed a lot of the suspicions that some gymnastics fans have had for a while now, that Miss Vale can be a little bit shady and she can play favorites. And, you know, Alyssa talked about how she always felt like her scholarship was being dangled in front of her. And the second she didn't agree with something that Miss Vale said, it's like she pulls that out and, you know, threatens to take your scholarship away.
Yeah. Miss Vale very much has a my way or the highway attitude. And it seems like if you speak up and you defend yourself or you voice your opinion, she will insert her dominance or use her powers in whatever way that she can. That's kind of how it seems like. And I think Alyssa's statement confirms that.
Yeah. Eventually, Alyssa did get her scholarship taken away going into her senior year, and she felt that it was unjust. Mm-hmm. She, you know, kind of came out of nowhere. She didn't really know, like, why. Like, she didn't feel like she did anything to deserve it being taken away.
What's frustrating about it is that it seems like Vale kind of made it so... It was clear from the beginning, I think, that she wanted her off the team.
Yeah.
And it was either, I'm going to make your life a living hell so you leave on your own, and that way she's, you know, out of it. She can carry on guilt-free. Or she was going to find some way to pull her scholarship and find a reason to get her off this team and justify why she did it.
Yeah.
And what's heartbreaking about it is that not only ended her gymnastics career, but it kind of put her in a bad spot because she's a senior. She... all athletes, when they commit to college, they're expecting to be on a scholarship for 4 years. That's their way of paying their education. And now all of a sudden, she has no scholarship, no place to live, no team. It's like Val just completely threw a wrench in her life with no regard for how that was going to affect her.
Yeah. She also talked about how she felt kind of like ostracized by her teammates. And, you know, Miss Val would tell the teammates not to talk to her, or, you know, to kind of make up lies about her to make it seem like Alyssa was, like, doing something wrong.
Yeah, or, like, having the seniors have a meeting with the whole gymnastics team. No coaches, just the gymnasts. And basically try and, like, pressure her to admit to something. Because that would be the reason to kick her off the team. It's like,
yeah,
it was a setup. It was a whole setup.
Yeah, it's definitely very shady. And unfortunately, not too surprising, I would say. Maybe to some people it comes as a surprise, but I think if you read Miss Vale's book, like we did, it kind of, to me, there were some red flags mm-hmm. with Miss Vale just from reading her book.
I liked Miss Vale before I read her book, and then I read it and I was like, oh, like that was not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
The thing that really bothered me was she had this whole chapter dedicated to her rules, her team rules, and she had some ridiculous rules. And it all is centered around her opinion. It's all just what she wants. She has no good reason for it. It's just like, this is my team and I can do what I want. And I mean,
it's really controlling.
It's true. She can do whatever she wants, but yeah, that's just a bad attitude to have. One of the rules was no, like, bellies showing. And it's the way she talked about it in her book. I mean, I understand having your team look unified and professional, and especially when you're traveling, you're out in public. I get it. But she gives a specific example when a gymnast was loading up the bus. She was putting her bag up overhead, and she reached her arms up, and then her shirt came up, like what happens when you lift your arms up.
Right, which is normal.
Completely normal. And her stomach showed a little bit, and then Val saw a man looking at her stomach, basically, and she used the word ogling. Basically, she kind of implied that when a girl's shirt comes up, you're inviting men to look at your stomach. And it's weird because, one, it's like, why are you sexualizing a stomach? And two, you're not inviting anyone to look at you.
And it's surprising because you would think that Miss Vale would know that, having had so many survivors of sexual assault on previous teams of hers.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you think that that's something that you think that's a mindset that she wouldn't adopt.
Yeah. I was shocked hearing that come from her.
And then there's the whole cornrow thing that everyone's talking about on Twitter, which is also something that was mentioned in the book.
Yeah. So I have that page up in the book right now. And so the cornrow thing first kind of came about, at least it's been documented, with Jeanette Antolin. And she came into practice one day with cornrows in her hair, and Val basically is looking at it like, I don't like this, but she's not going to say anything, which is probably how she should have left it. But she didn't. And Jeanette ended up asking her, like, what do you think of my hair? And she says she doesn't like it because it makes her look harsh. And then Jeanette responds with, well, it's a free country. I can wear my hair however I want. And then this response, she says, yes, you can. And just as Coach Wooden told Bill Walton many years ago when he showed up to practice with his long hair hanging down his neck, I'm the head coach of this team and you can wear your hair any way you'd like, but you won't be on the floor. You'll be sitting in the stands. And then he basically came to campus the next day with a haircut, and Jeanette came in the next day without cornrows.
So Miss Val wins, basically.
And then she says, the reason that Coach Wooden, which he was the football coach many years ago, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, and Val talks about him a lot, and she talks about him in her book, but the reason that he didn't want his players having long hair is because there would be potential for sweat to get into their eyes from their hair, I guess.
Right. I mean, that makes sense.
Her reason? She just doesn't like them.
Yeah. And that's annoying because then years later, apparently Caitlin Ohashi also wanted to have cornrows in her hair. And apparently she was like warming up on beam and
for at a meet.
Yeah. And then Miss Vale decided like right then and there, that's when she was going to take it out. So Caitlin was like taking it out, and then she would get up on the beam, warm up some more with her hair like half out, which is like dangerous, I would
kind
think.
Of, yeah.
And then she continues to take it out.
And then you want to know why Val and Caitlin probably got along so well? It's because Caitlin let her do it.
Yeah.
Unlike Jeanette and unlike
Alyssa.
Yeah. They push back. I don't want to say argue, but they stand up for themselves. They say, well, you know, you don't like it? Well, it's my hair. I can wear it how I want.
Right.
She specifically mentions in her book that there's no way that she would have been able to do that to Caitlyn if it wasn't for their relationship and their trusting relationship. Like, this isn't about, like, trusting each other. This is simply about control. Mm-hmm. This is about you not liking how someone looks, but, like, it's their body and they can do what they want. And the whole rules thing that she has in this book, she mentions things like face tattoos and why would you put a face tattoo on when it just takes away from your natural beauty? As if someone can't be beautiful when they have a face tattoo on.
Right. They're supposed to show, like, school pride, and it's just supposed to be fun and innocent.
Mm-hmm. She just has so many ridiculous rules that really, to me, kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Then there was the whole Maria Claire being on the UCLA gymnastics team situation, which I think also is another example of how Miss Val would do some potentially shady things, because Maria Claire was never a gymnast. She apparently trained at Club Champion Gymnastics, but no one from that gym ever, like, saw her, knew who she was, and she also had no history of competing, which in today's day and age is unheard of with, you know, my meet scores, gymnasts having websites, social media. When you're recruiting someone to be on your team, you know that they're a gymnast. You can go look them up. You can see their results. You can see their career highs. It's all pretty easy to find for the public. And mm-hmm. that's just not the case with Maria Claire.
Well, and it turns out her uncle was actually friends with Val. They were, like, longtime friends. And Miss Val was asked about this in an interview right before she retired. And she said that that had nothing to do with how she got on the team and that she was recruited. She was recruited for her work ethic and then her potential on vol. But I'm like,
so, like, if she had potential on vol, like, can you tell us a little bit about, like, her level 10 career on vol? Like, what kind of scores did she get?
Right, like,
why is there no history of it?
UCLA is a top school, period. And it's also a top gymnastics program. So if you're being recruited to a top gymnastics program for one event specifically, you would think you're pretty damn good on it, right?
You would think.
But here's Maria Claire, and no one's ever heard of her, and apparently she has potential on vault. We never saw it.
Shady. Shady if I know it.
So she never ended up competing for UCLA because of medical issues, but she was a team manager for 2 seasons. And it honestly just appears that Val allowed her on the team just because she had a connection to her uncle. And she basically faked an athletic resume to get into a top-notch university, which is illegal?
Yeah, that's definitely fraudulent. And I think, like, UCLA is so hard to get into in general. So she's, you know, here on this team at this great school, and potentially taking a spot away from somebody who actually deserved it and actually, like, worked hard and, like, earned their way in.
Mm-hmm. And granted, she wasn't on a scholarship, like, an athletic scholarship. She just was on the team. But still, it's like there's so many girls that actually do gymnastics that are dying to go to UCLA. That's their dream school. And
they would love to walk onto the UCLA gymnastics mm-hmm. team. And then here you have this girl who's probably never done a cartwheel in her life, and she just gets to be on the team because she has a connection.
It's just the mindset. It's the mindset that Val would even allow that to happen. When you have so many hardworking gymnasts, she knows there's so many girls out there that want to go to UCLA. But then to work, like, a deal behind the scenes that no one knows about, where it's like, oh, my buddy's, you know, he has a niece that wants to be at UCLA. Let's pretend like she was a gymnast to get her on the team. The fact that she was a part of that is super, super shady. But it doesn't even stop there, because she was also a part of a deal that was very similar with Corey Tomlinson, who, if you don't know, he's the guy with the blonde hair that is, like, always on the side, he was always on the sidelines getting, like, crazy.
Now he's at Arkansas because he's friends with Jordan Weber. Yes. So you might recognize him from that.
He was UCLA's team manager from 2010 to 2014. But his dad was actually the head coach of the gymnastics team right before Miss Val was, and he actually hired Val as the assistant coach. So there's a connection there. And Val basically kind of suggested that Corey get added to the golf roster at UCLA. And same type of deal where he has no history of playing golf, but in 2010, he was on UCLA's golf team. Another, like, backstage deal that they negotiated that's totally unfair to all the athletes that actually work hard to get into these schools and earn spots on athletic teams. To pretend someone's an athlete to get into a school, like,
it's just not fair to the actual athletes that work so hard for that.
It's so messed up. But that was just another thing that Val did that was like, why are we not talking about this more?
Yeah, so when Alyssa's statement came out, I guess I just wasn't that surprised. Val did put out a public, air quote, apology. I guess, what are your thoughts on the apology? Or the lack of apology? Because the words, I'm sorry, never came out of her mouth.
Yep, the words, I'm sorry, were nowhere to be found in this statement. I'm actually going to read it real quickly, just in case anyone has not heard it yet. She said, "For long-term change to take place, I believe tough conversations are required. I have made many mistakes in my coaching career and regret the times that I was bullish, sarcastic, and mean. I acknowledge that behavior and over the course of many years have had one-on-one conversations with student athletes to understand the impact my actions have had on them. The goal is truth and reconciliation." In reference to the article that Alyssa Beckerman wrote about her experience at UCLA, in 2003, during a formal arbitration, I had the opportunity to rebut much of what was stated and laid out facts that supported the removal of Alyssa from our team. Alyssa, her father, and their attorney presented their own case to the panel. The panel supported the decision to rescind Alyssa's scholarship. 2 years ago, Alyssa shared her feelings with me privately, and I responded with a sincere apology for the pain she has experienced. I do understand that the hurt and feelings are real and raw. I don't wish or deserve to be held on a pedestal as the model. Instead, I hope that others can learn from my shortcomings and realize that change is ongoing and possible. I wish all of my athletes could have been led by the coach that I was the last 10 years of my career. While I know that's not possible, I'm able to share my own evolution, regrets, and mistakes, past and ongoing, with the hope of keeping this conversation alive for real change." So, a couple things. One, like you mentioned, she doesn't actually say the words "I'm sorry" anywhere in there. It's more just like, here's a bunch of excuses. Like, let me defend myself.
Like, here's the justification.
Mm-hmm. She says that she talked to Alyssa privately and gave a sincere apology. But she says she apologized for the pain she experienced, not for the pain that she caused her. It's like she removed herself from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't want to say, "I'm sorry for the pain that I caused you during your time at UCLA."
Yeah.
It's like she's removing herself completely from the situation so she doesn't have to feel guilt. It's mm-hmm. kind of what I feel from that.
I feel like my impression from it was that she's basically like, you know, Alyssa was silent, she was isolated, Val turned her teammates against her, and she took away her financial stability, and then it's, like, at the end of it, she's like, but, like, I grew from it, and it's, like, that's the big picture here, that's what matters, is, like, I grew from this. But it's, like, you also, like, kind of ruined someone's life, at least temporarily, like, during that time.
Yeah, well, and all these years have gone by, and Alyssa's just now having the courage to, like, speak out about it publicly.
Which is really hard to do, so massive props to her, because Miss Val has, like, a cult following, I feel like, and a mass amount of supporters who think that she's, like, the greatest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have somebody, I guess, be the first to come out and say, like, I had a bad experience with this person.
She's potentially opening the door for any other gymnasts who have not had good experiences with Miss Val, which I know there are plenty out there.
But that's the other thing I didn't like, too, is that she said that within the last 10 years, like, she's changed, and all of the girls, she didn't say all of the girls, but she said that, like, in the last 10 years that she's changed.
Like, I wish all the girls of the past could have been coached by the coach from the last 10 years.
Yes. And it's kind of like,
one, you took out Caitlin Ohashi's cornrows within the last 10 years, so that's one area that you have not changed.
Right. But also, like, if somebody did have a bad experience, then now they've almost been kind of, like, silenced, because Val's put out this apology, this statement, where she's saying that she's changed, and, like, if only, like, all of my gymnasts could have been coached by the me that I am now, but it's like,
What if someone has a problem with you now?
Yeah.
And also, did you see Mercedes Sanchez on Twitter?
Yeah.
She's a, well, she's technically not a current UCLA gymnast anymore. She's transferring, she's going on to grad school, and she's going to San Jose State. But she was on the UCLA gymnastics team very recently, up until last year, and she quote tweeted Alyssa Beckerman's statement and basically just said, like, I support you.
She said, thank you for being brave enough to come forward and share the story. You're not alone. So.
And then also, if you go to her likes on Twitter, she's liking all sorts of things about Val from the gym tonight. So that kind of tells me that she has a little bit of a story with Miss Val, and she is a very current athlete of theirs, or very recent athlete, I should say, of theirs. So the whole, I wish you could have been coached by the last 10-year version of me is kind of bullshit.
Not really buying it. Mm-hmm. Also, can we talk about Nikki Shapiro? Because I feel like something's going on with that situation.
I've always wondered about that, and I've done, like, so much snooping, like, trying to figure out what happened with that. I think it's interesting, and who knows, maybe it's just a coincidence, but I think it's interesting that she was on the team, she was competing, she was pretty consistently in the beam lineup, and then she just disappeared, and the second Val retires, she's back.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder if something happened there with her and Val, if maybe she was kicked off the team.
They didn't get along for some reason.
Yeah. Because we kind of can tell that Val plays favorites. If you're not one of the top girls on the team, you know, you're kind of subject to her bullying ways.
Or at the very least, if you're not somebody who
is going to put up with her bullshit.
Yeah. Like, if you stand up to her in any way, shape, or form, like, she's just not going to have it. And I think that that's been made pretty clear.
Yeah. She wants people that are going to bow down to her, not use their voice and speak out against her. Overall, I would say I'm not very shocked by these allegations against Val, but I'm also a little bit disappointed. I think that she led so many people to believe that she was this kind, caring, understanding, loving coach. And I'm not saying that she's not that, that she's this horrible person, but I do think there's another side to her that she hid very well from people.
Yeah, it's annoying that her entire brand was just that.
Mm-hmm.
She's known for being, like, positive and empowering, and to hear that at least one of her gymnasts, and I'm sure that there's more, didn't feel that way when they left her program, it does feel like a little bit misleading. And also, I think I'm a little disappointed, like we mentioned, with the apology, because I feel like if you're defending yourself while you're making an apology, it's not an apology at all. It's more a way for her to rationalize her behavior. But I'm glad that Alyssa had the courage to speak up. I know that probably was really stressful and hard for her to do. Like we mentioned, Miss Val does have a pretty strong following and a lot of supporters. So for Alyssa to have the courage to share her negative experience, I'm definitely proud of her for that. And I hope that if there's any other gymnasts out there who went to UCLA and who had a similar experience, maybe, that they'll feel empowered by Alyssa to share their own experience and help, you know, get the healing process going for them. Thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode and for sticking through all the way to the end. Hopefully we didn't blow your eardrums out or we didn't scare you away with the aggression that we had in this episode, but we were really passionate about this topic and
we had a lot to say.
Yeah, we did. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Next week, we're hoping to do a little bit lighter of an episode. We want to talk about our favorite floor routines of all time. So if that's something you're into, stay tuned for that. You can send us an email at allthingsgympod@gmail.com and let us know what your favorite floor routine of all time is, and we may give you a shout out in our episode.
We hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you next Monday. Bye.
Bye.